We are going to eventually get to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you want to get your Bibles opened for that. We'll be to there in just a moment. And, you know, I'm going to tell you right up front here, you know, we started late, and then you got chatty, you know. So we may go long a little bit, and that's not my fault. So I'll try to talk fast. But we are finishing up this series on the Holy Spirit. And some of the things that we have been talking about is, and it's review for a lot of us, but we just need to hear it. We need to hear it over again. We need to understand this awesome truth that we have, that the presence of God is with us individually in the person, the Holy Spirit. And He is here, and He's wanting to commune with us. And He wants us to be in a life that is in communion with Him. And He's here to lead and to strengthen. And He's going to do that, but there is a responsibility on our part that we have been talking about every week here. There is a responsibility that we need to do, and it's about us seeking Him and submitting to Him. And then last week we talked about how the Holy Spirit strengthens our character and changes the very nature of who we are. And we are transformed into the we are supposed to be. This image that we have, we are formed in the image of God, and it's marred because of sin, but the Holy Spirit, through His work, is going to transform us back in to the Joel, and to the Tammy, and to the Tom, and to the Carla, that we are supposed to be. And that will be then evidenced in the fruit of the Spirit. Nothing that we do, we talked about this last week, it's not our working that's going to produce this fruit. The fruit comes from the Spirit. And when we seek Him and we submit to Him and we find Him, there will be this evidence that our character's changing. And we're starting to show things like love and joy and peace and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. Those are the attributes that we are to be that are found in the fruit of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit. These are the character developments that the believers in Christ have. They change our character. They change us as individual people. Today we're going to talk about the gifts of the Spirit. Different from the fruits of the Spirit, these are the gifts of the Spirit. And these are essentially, they're given by God as well. They are tools that God gives us in order to develop this body, in order to do the work of the church. Gifts of the Spirit. And these can be found in several scriptural references here. The main one we're going to talk about today comes from 1 Corinthians 12 and chapter 12, verse 4, and it goes like this. Paul says, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of services, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but the same God who activates all of them. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." And there he tells us the reason why these gifts are given, for the common good, for the work of this body, for the work of the church, for the building up of Pleasant Chapel and the church universal. To one, given through the Spirit, is the utterance of wisdom, and to another, the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually as the Spirit chooses. So as you followed along in those passages, you saw several, I hope they were highlighted, you could see several different spiritual gifts that were highlighted, their knowledge and wisdom and faith and so on. And then just briefly, I want to go over a couple other passages that Paul uses here in regards to these gifts. The next one comes from the book of Romans in chapter 12 and verse 4. He says, "For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function." And he uses this analogy of the body. We are all many parts, and the body has many parts to work together. Each one has this gift or a gift to be able to use. And he uses, we're not going to go into it here, but he uses ideas that some are eyes and some are hands and some, you know, everybody wants to be the mouth. You know, everybody wants to be able to do this. But, you know, there's lots of work that needs to get done here. And he uses this idea of the body working together again to do this work. And he says, so we who are many as one body in Christ and individually we are members one of another, we have gifts, here we go again, that differ according to the grace given to us. And he lists them, prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhortation, generosity, and leadership and compassion. Those are more spiritual gifts listed in Romans. Finally, just the third main passage that contains descriptions of spiritual gifts comes from the book of Ephesians in chapter 4. And he says, with all humility and gentleness and patience, bear with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Again, there's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in all. And then he says, he gave, were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. And again, why? Verse 12, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building of the body of Christ. And so we have this list of, is this an exhaustive list of the spiritual gifts? Well, that is debatable, but for sure there are a lot of these gifts, again, that are given, different from the fruits that change our character. These gifts of the Spirit, these spiritual gifts, are tools that we have, that God has given us to be able to use for the promotion of the body. Anybody know what their spiritual gift is? Raise your hand. Do you know what your spiritual gift is? Yeah. Have you ever thought about, have you ever gone through an assessment to help you find out what your spiritual gift is? Have you ever heard of this? You can do this. Years ago, I did this. It was a paper pencil kind of thing, but with the internet, there's so many nice tools there that I've got a slide that'll show you here. If you're interested in this, we're going to learn here in a little bit that God has given each of us a tool to use inside the church called your spiritual gift. And there's lots of assessment tools. You go through a battery of tests just to kind of get an idea of where you're at and how God has gifted. Is it perfect? Probably not. But it's interesting to go through. When you're done with this, of all of those gifts that we listed, it'll show you there's a tendency that you may have the gift of administration. There's a tendency that you may have the gift of mercy. There's a tendency that you may have the gift of helps or of teaching or of pastoring. It's kind of neat to go through that, and you can explore that on your own. There's a couple of things how you can Google it, and there's a website that I've used before too. So it's good to start to get a handle on what your gift is, and then we find areas where we can get plugged in to do that. The Bible will make a distinguishment between a gift, a spiritual gift, and a talent. You know, I think a lot of times we would use those words interchangeably, but when in the Bible, especially when Paul talks about spiritual gifts, later he talks about talents, they're two different things. And where we use those words synonymously, there's a distinguishment here in the Bible. A talent can by anyone, whether you're a follower of Christ or whether you're not, you can have talents. And spiritual gifts are only possessed by followers of Christ, that you receive the spiritual gift when you trust Him. So that's one difference between spiritual gifts and talents. Both talents and gifts can be used for God's glory to minister to others, but spiritual gifts are really focused on that. Talents really can be used differently. They can be used selfishly. Hannah has a wonderful gift. Hannah has a wonderful talent of singing. But you know, singing can be used for good or for bad. We know that. You could just turn different radio stations on and you have people using their voice for different things. So biblically, we would say Hannah has a talent for music, or someone has a talent in art, or someone may have a talent to manage money and to make money. Those can be used for good. They can be used for the kingdom growth, or they could be used for very self-centered things as well. Spiritual gifts, on the other hand, are given only for the building of the body. Regarding talents, you know, sometimes it's a genetic thing that's, you know, you're genetically disposed to be able to have this wonderful talent. You know, if I said the word Manning, right? You got three of them there that were quarterbacks in the NFL. There's something there. There's a genetic, you know, thing that they have. That would be more of a talent, because it can be started off genetically, but then it can be nurtured in and developed as well. Spiritual gifts, though, are given by God, and they are for believers. They are to be used for the building of this body. So back up and kind of put this together, and this is where I want to push us a little bit to just know these truths here that we've been talking about. Each of us has been given a gift. Well, one, the gift of the Holy Spirit to begin with. He's here. His presence is here. And he wants us to be in relationship with him. And he wants to lead and strengthen and direct us. And he wants to shape our character. He wants to turn us into the people that we are supposed to be, exhibited and demonstrated by the fruits of the Spirit that we had last week. And now he wants to tool us. He wants to give us these things that we can do called spiritual gifts to do this body stuff, to do this bodybuilding stuff, to do Pleasant Chapel stuff. He wants to equip us to do that work. He's going to give us these gifts so that we can change the world through Pleasant Chapel. And he's going to equip us to do that through spiritual gifts. And you know, I wonder sometimes why the church, not this church, but the church in general, forgive me, but seems lame at times. It seems powerless. Why are we not leading things? Why are we not leading the arts? Why isn't the music that Christians develop leading the rest of the world? Why isn't that our artists aren't leading the market here? It seems like we're catching up. It seems like we're behind. It seems like we're weak. It seems like we're just not this place that people are attracted to become because there's this lameness here. And I wonder if it is perhaps this notion that we are not trusting in and we are not in connection with the Holy Spirit like we need to be. Because if we truly believe what we say we believe, that the creator of all universe is here and in all of y'all, wow, what would that mean? What would that look like? Where would the power be? Would the church be as weak as it appears now in the 21st century? I just wonder if this is what we are missing as a church in general. Are we just simply not trusting the power that the Holy Spirit really has in our lives? To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. That is the truth, Paul says. We're given that. His presence is here. His changing power to transform us. The gifts that he has given us to do these wonderful things. It's just important that we trust that. A.W. Tozer wrote this that I think is a great point. He says, God is here when we are wholly unaware of it. He is manifest only when we are aware of his presence. There's a difference between him being here and him manifesting himself. He says the difference is when we are aware of it. On our part, he says, there must be a surrender to the Spirit of God, for his work is to show us the Father and the Son. If we cooperate with him in loving obedience, God will manifest himself to us, and that manifestation will be the difference between a nominal Christian life and a life radiant with the life of his face. And that's Tozer again. Our responsibility, this surrendering, this seeking, this submitting, the difference, he would say, between this unrecognized presence and a life that is full of meaning and of purpose that is real and appropriate for our lives today. Could it be that that's the core problem with, again, the church in general, that we're not seeking and we're not surrendering and we're not submitting to his presence? I'm learning, you know, I'm doing a lot of learning here because, you know, I'm kind of brand new to this and trying to find out a lot about what my role is here and what it is that I do. And, you know, I'm finding out that I don't think I'm a cookie cutter type pastor. There's just some things I think that, you know, as I'm going through some of the certification things that I have to go through, I'm not a fit here. There's some things that just are not right. And it seems to be there's a little bit of emphasis to put pastors and preachers on kind of a higher plane. you know, that they're kind of here. And I just, that's not a fit for me, because this whole idea of, you know, degrees and certifications and titles and positions and what schooling or whatever here, you know, that stuff's, you know, it's okay, but I want to make sure that you don't, I don't want to be in that place where you sort of get back to some of the problems that we've had before, that you had to have a priest stand between you and God. You know, and that's part of the reason that we protesters pulled away from the original church, was because of the emphasis on the priest in the Catholic Church. You know, that veil was torn, and we all have equal access. And so anytime, you know, as I'm kind of going through this, and I feel like they're doing these things to sort of put, you know, the pastor in that sort of a role, I just struggle with that, because that's not me. And I know that there's some leadership things that I know have to take place, and I get that. But on the other hand, you know, I'm finding that, you know, I'm on the same journey. You know, as I'm going through this and reading about the Spirit, and I'm studying Scripture and I'm praying over these things, you know, and I'm feeling His presence as I encounter Him speaking to me through this. I'm in the same place you guys are on that. And it's just wonderful that that is what is happening. And so I say that to say, you know, this isn't just my role to do this. It's all of ours. And I'm here with you, and I get to experience it right along with you as well. And so then I think that my job then is one more of connecting. And I think that's where the power is. It's not about, you know, some sort of fancy leadership style, or, you know, being very contemporary or very hip or very cutting edge. You know, it isn't about that. It's about connecting people to their God. It's about connecting people to that resides in them. And so my job then is to expose this and to magnify Him. And then watch what happens. Because this is for all of us. The Holy Spirit is here. And it's important that we connect. We have this flame of the Holy Spirit in us. And I think part of my job is I get to throw gasoline on that and blow on it a little bit. Because He's there. Let's get it going. Let's get it going. I'm about to commit a cardinal sin from Pleasant Chapel pulpit right now. I'm going to talk about something I don't know a lot about, and it could be contentious. In southern Indiana, there is a university that has a basketball team. I know. This could be bad, Kevin. And they have a new coach. IU has a new basketball coach coming in, and it's causing a lot of talk. I bet in the coffee shops and the restaurants and wherever you're at, there's some talk about Archie Miller, the new head basketball coach at IU. And there's a lot of excitement about him coming in. And you read a little bit about this new coach coming in, and he's finished with a great record. And he has a big emphasis on recruiting, because at Division I basketball at that level, it's less about X's and O's, and it's a lot more about recruiting. And he has a strong past on how he has recruited. And he has a strategic blueprint for how he's going to accomplish his goal. Strategic blueprint was a quote I pulled out. And he's also known for his points in transition. I could open up the floor and a microphone if anybody would want to dispute that, who wears black and gold or, you know, thinks any differently. But it's the truth. And for sure, I know we're buzzing about this new coach that's down there. And there's a lot of talk. And there's a lot of excitement about the new coach. And I can't help but wonder, wouldn't it be nice if we were just as excited at our coach that we have? Because consider Spirit is called our comforter and our guide. And I think probably another word we could use for that is He's also our coach. That He is right there beside you, and He is nudging you on, and He's giving you direction. And I'm pretty sure this coach has a very awesome record as well to be excited about. And I think he has an offensive strategy that's just unstoppable. And I think in regards to a blueprint of his plan, I think he's laid that out pretty well as well. Our coach, his defense is remarkable, and he works very well in transitions. This coach, are we as excited about the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, our coach, about IU? I want to throw gas on that flame, and I want us to continue seeking this great coach that we have that's going to transform our game, our life. And I think one of the things we have to never do, we got to just get away from this notion that is in the church in general, for sure, is this thing about accepting Christ and getting saved, and then it stops. You know, I got saved on such and such a date. Wonderful. That's a great thing. But it doesn't stop there. I was once was lost and now I'm found. Well, that's not the end. That's the beginning of the seeking. We must pursue the God who is near, continue to seek, by the simplicity of yielding and submitting and waiting and watching and positioning ourselves for this coach to move. We must keep seeking. We have this wonderful coach presence with us, but this is not a spectator sport. We got to get in the game. We got to keep seeking. Because if you keep seeking, Jesus told us in Luke chapter 11, I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Seek that coach. Consider the first disciples that Jesus would have been talking to here regarding that very statement. Who were they? You know, who were those guys? Well, let me tell you what those guys were. They were snot-nosed little babies that were scared to death. You know, we want to think of them as being these rock-solid pillars of our faith. But, you know, when he was here, they all ran. You know? They were scared. And they ran and they forsake him. But what happened? They changed. Because about all of them gave their lives in martyrdom because of what they believed in their faith. What changed? Well, what changed was Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came. That was their strength, when they were in communion with God with us here. Brand new people who were given gifts to play in this game and to do the work of building up the church. And you know something else about those guys, because when you picture in your mind's eye who those disciples are, you know, you've got these guys in robes and sandals and big, long, flowing gray hair and beards. You know, no, they were 20-somethings looking over here, y'all. You know, in this section. They were young guys. John was probably 17. And they changed the world forever because of the Spirit's power in their lives. The instant cure of most of our religious ills, Tozer goes on to say, would be to enter his presence in spiritual experience, to be suddenly aware that we are in God and that God is in us. Exactly what Hannah's saying about here. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. I want to know that more deeply. I want us to be overwhelmed by this knowing. Be overwhelmed with the truth that we have this person, this personal presence in us, around us, and through us. We just need to get lost in that. Be overwhelmed that we have been given this incredible power and direction from the Creator himself. And not just here, get overcome by the knowledge of this truth, but rather the knowing of him here, the relationship that develops as we understand him through the Son, as we come to know him in Scripture and in prayer and in our church. Get overwhelmed that we have him working in us to produce change, to produce these fruits that are evidence that he's changing our lives. He's turning us into the versions of us that we are to be. We're becoming you-ier, the ones that we are supposed to be, the ones that are loving and peaceful and kind and the rest of the fruits of the Spirit. Our attitudes are changed. Be amazed, too, that we're given gifts. These should be surprises. You don't even know, perhaps, that you have them. But when you find that you have these abilities, these gifts that are given, get lost and amazed in that you have that to promote this church. I just think that's crazy that we have this. God gave each of us stuff, tools, to blow our community away by the love of God that lives in Little Pleasant Chapel. And then seek him always, that he may manifest himself so greatly in you. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for, as a body, focus on your Spirit. Thank you for renewing our head knowledge of who you are. But even more than that, thank you for renewing this passion that you have for us, this pursuit that you have for us in love through your Spirit. And we want to become lovers of you as well. We want to spend more time in your word, and we want to spend more time in prayer, that we can communicate with the Spirit that reveals the Godhead. Father, we thank you for this time, and we just ask that everything we would do as a church would glorify you in your name. Amen. Would you stand and...